good morning.
It's certainly been good to be here already today. If you missed Sunday school, you really missed a blessing, but it's been good to be here. I appreciate the presence of the Lord, and good to see this good number out this morning, and hope you come just to worship the Lord together with us today. Like I said, it's already been good to be here. Chelsea and Chloe are going to sing here in just a minute. I wanted to go ahead and make the announcements first and get that out of the way. I don't really have anything much except the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's remember that. Brian Gurley, Pastor Brian Gurley is going to be with us tonight, him and his family. And he's a pastor from down in the middle of the state. And God has called him and his family to be missionaries. And they've just recently resigned his church he'd been at for several years. They've are full-time deputation, and so they're going to be with us tonight. I'm really looking forward to it. I believe it'll be a blessing. So let's remember that tonight at 6 o'clock. Girls, y'all come on and sing. I appreciate that. That was a blessing.
But Tim, good opening up. I sort of thought he'd forgot to come back up and
finish, but that's all right. If you're not used to doing something and then you think, well, now just how does that go? You might have to ask somebody too. So I appreciate him doing that. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 46. And I'll give you just a moment to find your place there, the book of Psalms. So that's right in the middle, pretty much, of the Bible. And then chapter number 46, it's a short chapter, only has 11 verses. And we're just going to read part of one verse, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. So give you just a moment to find your place. The book of Psalms, chapter number 46. And again, it's been really good to be here this morning. And I enjoyed the Sunday school time and the testimonies and the songs and everything Brother Tim said, opening up. It's just all a blessing to my heart. And so I appreciate the Lord for meeting with us this morning. I look around and there's a lot of needs and there's a lot of troubles and trials people are going through. I mean, if we just all thought about it this morning, you could just go from just about pew to pew and think about this person has this need and this thing is going on in their life, and then there's always the things we don't know about. So it's good when we can just come and just the Lord minister to us and give us what we need. Psalms chapter 46, verse number 10. Just going to read the first part of that verse, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I want to thank you for your majesty and your grace and your power and your ability to speak to our hearts and help us. And Lord, you do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. You do that because your word is alive. And Lord, you are able to speak to each and every heart and give us what we stand in need of individually. Lord, I'm thankful that you're able to do that. There's no way that I or anyone else here today could go from heart to heart and just give out what is needed. But Lord, you can do that. You can do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. You can do that because you're God. And Lord, you know all about us, and you know everything that's going on in our lives. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give good liberty today as we look in your word and we think about what it says. And I pray and ask that you'd help us to see how we need to incorporate it into our lives, make it the great habit of our lives, that Lord, we will do what the Bible is telling us to do here in the passage this morning. So just give liberty and power and freedom of thought and bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder this morning in any way. And we'll thank you for what you do. Lord, we come, we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, that's a really, really short text of scripture this morning. I want us to go back and read it again, and I'm going to read it several times. And you should be able to quote it if you don't already know it by the time that we leave. But look what the Bible says. Be still and know that I am God. There's just 8 words in that passage of scripture. Not even looking at the whole verse, but just the first part of the verse. Be still and know that I am God. The longest word in those words that we're looking at, the longest one is the word still. S-T-I-L-L. It only has 5 words. I want you to see what is said in such a short amount of space. The word still just has 5 letters in it. The word know that, they have 4 letters apiece. The words and the word God has 3 letters. The word be and the word am has 2 letters. And then the word I, of course, has 1 letter. None of the words that we're looking at this morning in this passage of Scripture do we have to go to the dictionary and pull it off the shelf. The smallest Sunday school class here today could understand what this verse is saying. I mean, the little ones. One of the first things you learn in life, be still. You know, you parents say, amen. You probably already said that several times this morning. Be still. Be still. Sit still. Be still and know that I am God. How simple that is. Look, it's only 8 words. And yet people say, all the time I hear people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Well, I can't understand how you can't understand the Bible. I think if you can't understand the Bible, a whole lot of that is that you don't want to understand the Bible. Because look how simple it is. I mean, who cannot understand what the Bible is saying here? Be still and know that I am God. If you can understand that, I believe all the Bible could fall under that. I mean, if you can know God, you can know the Bible. And if all you got to do to know God is to be still, then surely you can do that. And if you know God, you can know the Bible. Now, I don't understand every little thing in the Bible, but I understand more than I can apply in my own life. And the things that I don't understand, I don't get too tore up about. It's the things that I do understand. That's what bothers people. The things that they do understand out of the Bible. But I believe that anybody that really wants to can understand the Bible, because the Bible, basically the basic message of the Bible is actually very easy to understand. And so the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Now the problem is, we don't even know how to do this. This verse I'm talking about. We have a problem doing that. The be still and know that I am God. Now this, in verse number 10, I want you to see something today. This is actually something. This be still and know that I am God. This is a beautiful explanation of what biblical meditation is. If somebody came to me and they said, preacher, what does it mean when the Bible says meditate upon these things, or Paul told Timothy that, meditate upon these things. Several places in the Bible talks about meditation, or my meditation of him shall be sweet. The Lord told Joshua, meditate therein day and night. Preacher, what does it mean when the Bible says we are to meditate? If I could illustrate what that means, this is where I would go. Be still and know that He is God. That is biblical meditation. That's what I'm preaching on this morning. The title to the message would just simply be that. Biblical meditation, emphasizing the word biblical. Now the world has an idea of meditation and talks about meditation and all the time. In fact, a lot of times, and I even have noticed, I get a magazine, it's from the American Legion, and they have articles in there about soldiers and things that are going on in the military. And I noticed a while back there was an article in there about dealing with soldiers that had PTSD, and they were teaching them transcendental meditation. And it was extolling the virtues of transcendental meditation. And I thought, I don't like that too much. But the world has an idea of meditation, and the world has a philosophy that meditation will be good for you. And I do believe it is good for you biblically. Biblical meditation is what I want to preach on this morning. I'm not talking about sitting cross-legged. And you know, some of you younger ones, you saw the Kung Fu Panda little movie. That's a pretty good little movie. But that monkey, you know, he's sitting around cross-legged. I think he's a monkey and he's meditating, clearing his mind, all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. The world, that I'm not talking about the world's idea of meditation. I'm talking about God's idea and what God's Word teaches about meditation. Biblical meditation will help you in many ways. But biblical meditation is always on, in, or of something. It is never about nothing. That's the big difference between the world. The world says you got to get where you're thinking about nothing. But God says you got to get where you're thinking about something. And that something is always on God, on His works, in His Word, of His works. It's different. It's always has an object. And so I want to point that out today, but I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit there. We're going to look at this verse, and I want to break it down. Number one, and there's just three things I want to point out. Number one, there's the action in verse number 10. The action, first of all, is this.
be still, which is actually not action, and it's actually harder for us to be still than it is if God said, now this is what I want you to do. Is it not hard for us to be still? Even the little ones, you'd think, man, that'd be easy to do. That's hard for them to do. Be still. Sit still. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Hard. It's hard from the time that we are small all the way up through being an adult all of our lives. But God's word says, first of all, be still. The words be still, it means this. It means to slacken. Now, think about this, to slacken. You think about horses or oxen, or you think about animals pulling a piece of machinery, or horses pulling a log out of the woods, or anything like that. In order to pull it, the chain, the rope, whatever they're using, it's got to be tight. Then when they stop, it slackens. The problem is, in our lives, we never stop. We live our lives, and I think more our generation by far than other generations that have gone before us, we live our lives tight all the time, always pulling, always going, always thinking, always busy. And I preached a message years ago, busy, being under Satan's yoke. I'm going to preach on this one these days when the Lord helps me. Do you ever find Jesus in a hurry? I never find anywhere that Jesus hurried to do anything. But he surely had a great work to do. But we live in a hurry and a flurry and a flush, and we're constantly on the go and to the next thing. And it amazes me. People think that they're smart, and they say, oh, I can multitask. You know, you're not even doing one thing. You're doing five things. You know, you can study and read a book and listen to the radio and browse the internet and answer emails all the time. And you say, man, I can multitask. And what that basically means is you're not good at anything. You know, we think we are. We can't even do one thing. But we are very, very busy. We live very busy, very involved lives, and we have things that other generations have not had before us, and things that have come upon us very quickly. The internet, for example, and I was reading something the other day in the internet, and browsing the internet, or not the internet, but you think about Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or any of these things, and you know, you can just run through pages and pages of information and pictures and sayings and all of these things, and you know, it's just before your mind a matter of seconds, and you're on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And what that teaches us is that we have trouble paying attention to anything for any length of time. I was reading a book this past week, and it was talking about a researcher, and he said that our whole society has attention deficit disorder. Well, we can't pay attention. You rarely get somebody's full, undivided attention, do you? You know, you can be talking to somebody and next thing you know, they flipped out. Oh, excuse me, and you lost them. You might as well forget about whatever you was talking about. It's gone. Happens all the time. Go to eat lunch after church. Notice what families are doing. They're all on their devices. But that researcher said the average attention span is 9 seconds long. Same as a goldfish. That's about right. The average attention span, that really made me think about preaching. I know when I'm preaching, 80% of you aren't paying half attention like you ought to be. I know, 9 seconds. That's eternity. Okay, I get the point. Go on. go on, got somewhere to be. Our average attention span is 9 seconds long, and if you really think about it, that's probably not very far from where we are. We are never still. Our minds are always going. Other generations, I believe with all my heart, they at least knew how to sit down. They had slack time. We never have slack time. We always have something to fill all of our voids of time. We have forgotten how to be still. We have forgotten how to meditate. Now, if you take meditation, biblical meditation, and I'm going to delve into what that is, but if you thought about that topically speaking, you know, what would you put that under? What are you preaching about? What are you talking about? Well, you could put it under a Bible study, prayer time, quiet time, devotional time. That's what it would go underneath. If we're talking about how do I learn to meditate biblically, all those things would be related to that. But I want to say this morning that meditating in the Bible, meditating on the Lord, is more than praying and more than reading your Bible. Be still must be applied physically. You're going to have to sit down and be quiet. Mentally, you're going to have to stop thinking about what you're doing tomorrow, what you're doing next week. Spiritually, you're going to have to prepare your heart. You're going to have to put something in there from the Lord. It's more than just reading your Bible. You say, preacher, I read my Bible. Do you know? And I know that you do. It is possible to read and not be still. Say, how do you read and not be still? Well, yeah, you're sitting still. And you're reading pages, you're reading your Bible, you read maybe your Sunday school literature, you're maybe reading a devotional book. Have you ever read a whole page and you get down to the bottom and you've been thinking about everything else under the sun? And you think to yourself, I didn't get anything out of that. I don't know what I've just read. Do you know what? That's because you don't know how to be still. You are trying to do two things. You are unconsciously doing two things at one time. You go back and you read it over. It's hard to be still. You can pray and not be still. You can pray on full automatic. I know what I'm talking about. I've done this more than once. We pray at our house. We're Christians. We pray over our meals. We pray before we go on a trip somewhere. And I've done this before. You know, you get down to supper time. That's the evening meal. And by the way, that's the biblical phrase for the last meal of the day, supper time. Okay. Dinner time's in the middle of the day, but I'm not going to go there. But we come down to supper time. You say, all right, let's pray. All right, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given to us. And I pray you'd help us to sleep good tonight and have a good night's rest. Amen. Kim says, we're not going to bed. We're eating supper. I mean, Lord, bless our food and later when we go to bed. Get my bedtime prayer and my supper time prayer and it's all mixed up. And what it is, you're just praying out of habit and it doesn't mean anything to you. You're not being still. We don't know how to be still. We know how to do things automatically. I'm sure today I could call on any number of people in here today that could stand up and say the nicest prayer. But you could do it and not really put your heart in it because you know how to pray. You know all the right things to say. You know what sounds good. You go down through your mental checklist. Okay, the people that are traveling and the people that are sick and the people that are in trouble and we got to travel after. So, Lord, help us all and bless in Jesus' name and amen. Here we go. Let's get to Cracker Barrel. We're not being still. We're serving the Lord. We come to church. You can come to church, but that doesn't mean you've worshiped. You can come to church, you can sit right there. It doesn't mean that you've been still before the Lord. Now, the Lord's been here this morning. It's been good. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that, but it's not always that way. We come in, a lot of times we come in, if you as a preacher, if you can't be a preacher and have
your feelings hurt all the time. But you know, most people can't remember what you preached on. About Monday or Tuesday or maybe even later on this afternoon. We went to church. Yeah, it's good. What did the preacher preach on?
Most times people take away a word or a sentence. Something like that. We don't know how to be still. You do all these things. Look in your Bibles just a few pages over. Look in Psalms chapter number 63. Let me show you something over there. Psalms chapter number 63. Now, we need to be still and we need to meditate. But preacher, I'm so busy. When am I supposed to have time to do this? Psalms chapter 63 and verse number 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Right there's the answer. You want to know when to meditate? You better start early. Don't go through half your day and then try to sit down and read your Bible and get along with God and hear what God has to say. The pattern in the Bible is early meet with God. You've got to get it early. I read something actually this morning. It said, don't play your concert and then tune your instrument. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Tune your instrument, then play your concert. What it was saying is, you better get with God early. That's the best hour of the day, best time of the day. He said in verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So he talked about praising and seeking God early in verse number 1. And then by the time he gets down to verse number 6, he's talking about remembering the Lord on his bed and meditating on thee in the night watches. You ever wake up in the middle of the night? It's a good time to meditate. Now if you jump out of the bed and turn on the TV, you missed it. You know, if I wake up and I can't go back to sleep, I've started thinking, instead of fretting over it, I guess God needs me to spend some time with Him. He might have something He wants to tell me or show me. That's the psalmist said, I will meditate in the night watches. Now, I love my sleep. Anybody else? I love it. So I figure if I'm up from something that I love to do, there might be a reason. And it's not that God wants me to catch up on swamp people. David said, I'll meditate upon thee in the night watches. I will think about the Lord early in the morning, late at night. The Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 to meditate therein day and night. Well, if we could learn to be still in the morning, at night, well, those are natural times. What about on the drive to work? What about on the drive to work? What about you got to walk somewhere in the middle of the day? There's all kinds of opportunities if we will just learn to seek them out. Here is an opportunity to be still. God, to speak to my heart. For me to hear what He has to say to me. Be still. That's the thing we got to learn how to do, is to be still. Number 2, there's the object. Look in verse number 10. Be still and know. I've got that underlined in my Bible. Be still and know. The object of meditation is to know. Now that word meditate, it comes from our word where we talk about an animal that is a ruminant. That is a sheep or a cow. And they go out and they eat in the morning. Then they go and they lay down in the shade somewhere and they belch it back up and they chew it. Then they swallow it again. So you didn't have to explain all of that. That's what they do. That's where your good milk and butter and all that good stuff comes from. Because they ruminate, because they meditate. That which they have taken in earlier, they bring back and they chew it over, they mull it over. And biblical meditation is like that. It is always active. It is always on, in, or off. Psalms 104:34. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Notice what my meditation of Him. It's talking about the Lord. When's the last time you just took some time to think about the Lord? My meditation of Him shall be sweet. Psalms 119 verse 99. Thy testimonies are my meditation. What's that? He's talking about the Word of God. Reading your Bible is great, but if you don't take time to think about it, you're not going to get out of it what you ought to get out of it. My meditation of Him is sweet. Thy testimonies are my meditation. Psalm 72 and 12. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I got up this morning about 6 o'clock, walked in the kitchen, looked out the window. It's still dark. I looked up at the sky to see what it looked like. I could see the stars still out. I thought about this. He made the stars also. Well, that blessed my heart. I stood there, little old me in my little old kitchen. Nobody, nothing, a speck in God's universe. I said, God made the stars. God made this earth. We don't worship the earth. But when I see the earth and nature and creation and the stars and all of those things, you know what it makes me worship? It makes me think about the power of God. He made all that. He made us. David had a devotional spirit. He had a devotional heart. He thought about the Lord. He thought about His works all the time. That's what we should be doing. The object of meditation is to know, to bring knowledge to our soul that we did not have before, or to remind us of something that God has done in the past. That's the object of the whole thing. We should ruminate. The word means to ponder, to converse with oneself. Think about the great things that God has done. One of my favorite preachers of all time to study and read about is George Whitefield. When I was a young preacher just starting out, especially I become aware of George Whitefield and his ministry, and we lived in England at the time. I went down to the library and I got a book about George Whitefield and some other great preachers and began to read about them. And George Whitefield, one of the things he would do is that he would... How did he study the Bible? I'll tell you what, he didn't have it on his smartphone because he didn't have one. They traveled all over America. They traveled across the sea. They traveled all over England. They went all... You know, they didn't jump on a plane. They got on a ship. They crossed the Atlantic. They didn't carry around great libraries with them. How did they learn all this? They had the Bible. That's what you need. Say, what do you need to know? What do you need? You know, you need the Bible. George Whitefield would take his Bible and a candle, and he would get by himself, and he would put his Bible in a chair, and he'd get down on his knees, and he'd get before God and say, Lord, here I am. Teach me. That's meditation. Many other great saints of God. You say, preacher, have you ever done that? Yes, I have done that. I don't think with a candle. But I've sure got down and said, Lord, I need you to show me what this means. True spiritual knowledge is not something. I'm not saying you can't get anything out of books. You can. But I'm talking about truly knowing. You can hear the preacher preach on a lot of things, and you not know it in your heart. You can read a lot of things. You can read a gospel booklet or something like that. You can obtain a whole lot of information. But the true spiritual knowledge that we really need in our lives must come from the Lord. God has to illuminate His Word. How does that come? From meditation. God's got to turn the spiritual light bulb on. Or all it is facts and figures. Say, preacher, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, that's true. In Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus was talking to Peter over there, and he asked Peter, he said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the other great prophets. And Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. You didn't learn that by somebody telling you, but my Father in heaven. How did Peter know these great truths about the Lord Jesus Christ? It had been revealed to him by the Father. That's how he knew who Jesus was. And let me say this morning, if you're here today and you don't know him, the only way you'll ever know him is by him revealing himself to you. That's how people can come and go from church and they go away lost. Well, what's wrong with it? I preached a good gospel message. Anybody ought to be able to understand. I mean, I could say that, or somebody could say, here's a gospel tract, read that, and I'll tell you how to get saved. Lay it down, not do anything about it. Boy, until the Spirit of God comes along, reveals to you what it means to be a sinner. See, I'd went to church all my life. I'd heard, went back home the same. But there was a Sunday when I went to church and the preacher preached and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and showed me I was a real sinner and I was going to a real hell. And I really needed a Savior. And guess what? He saved me. He revealed himself. The object of God's word is that he would reveal himself to us. How do we know? The Bible said, be still and know. That's the object of the whole thing. That's the object of us. Why would we meditate? Why would we meditate upon the scripture? That we might know him. He would reveal himself to us. Biblical meditation opens the scripture to us. If you'll really get serious before God, you might say today, boy, I really wish I knew what God wanted me to do. If you get serious about what I'm talking about, he will show you what he wants you to do. In an astonishing way, he will reveal to you what he wants you to do. You say, I need guidance, I need direction in my life. Get before God. Be still before the Lord. Open up his word and say, God, I want to know. God is not in the secret keeping business. He wants you to know what he wants you to do. He wants you to know him. Be still and know. That's the object. Number three and last of all this morning, there's the motivation. Look what it said. Be still and know that I am God. I wonder if we ask ourselves a question this morning, how well do you really know the Lord? I'm not talking about know about him, but know him. Be still and know that I am God. We, and when I say we this morning, I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the world. We know the world's in a mess. But we Christians are not far off. We are rattled. We are doubtful, we are scared, we are depressed, we are a lot of things. We are powerless. We don't have the old time power that they used to have in the church. It's there, it's available, but I'm telling you, we're not tapping into it. We know a lot of things about God. We really do. I believe we have some of the best teaching. I believe we have a lot of information. I believe anything you want to find out about, you can find out about it. But do we really know God? I mean, do we know God like we know our mate, our spouse, our children? We know them. We live with them. We know all about God. We have all the accessories to Christianity. You know, we have the churches, the building, the outreach, the technology, the Bibles, the songbooks, the instruments, the choir. We've got everything we need. But I'll tell you, do we really have him and know him? Say, preacher, well, we know him. We know we're saved. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about really knowing God. Really knowing him, walking with him, talking with him, praying, letting him be the guide and the rule and the object of our lives. How much do we really know the Lord? Isaiah 26:3 says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Do we have perfect peace? Not really. We're tore all to pieces all the time.
You say, well, not me. Well, it'll come to your house. I believe that. You just hang around a while.
Your world will get turned upside down. But the Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
It makes me think about a story I read years ago, and the ship was out on the sea and the great storm was coming and everybody's falling off, flying all to pieces. Everybody except the preacher. And the captain finally come by and said, man, you need a life jacket. We're likely to go down just any time. He said, no, we're not. He said, God told me I'm supposed to be over such and such. I'm going to a church. I'm going to preach a revival meeting. We're not going down. He knew.
That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He's talking about knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord better, knowing about his nature. Psalms 104 verse 34 said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. How well do we really know the Lord? Not about him, but I'm talking about knowing him, walking with him, feeling and knowing his presence, his power, and his direction in our lives. Now, we're all about challenges. I mean, you read about people all the time take up a challenge somebody's put forth. I'm getting ready to close. You know, a few years ago for ALS, dump a bucket of ice water on your head. It's amazing what people will do if you just challenge them to do it. Kim come across something the other morning on Facebook. She said, get down in the floor and grab both your feet and then stand up. I said, you can't do that. But did I get down and try to do it? Yes. And then later on that day, she saw it again. She said, no, I was telling you wrong. Just grab one foot and try to do it. I said, I told you couldn't do it if you grab both your feet. Got me in the floor like a big dummy and didn't tell me not how to do it right. But I was all for the challenge. You know, read a book a month, do this, do that. We're always, but I wonder what would happen if we would take up the challenge to meditate and just know him. Just, if I just took a month, if I took 2 months, if I took the time between now and our revival coming up, that I would make up my mind and my heart and I would make up my mind, you know, I want to know the Lord more. How can I know the Lord more? Be still and know that I am God. If I could challenge us this morning, I would say, let's do that. Let's challenge ourselves to meditate quietly, reverently, prayerfully, to wake up to in the morning and don't pick up your phone first thing. I read something a while back about a preacher. He said every morning he had a tug of war between Jesus and his Twitter. I don't have Twitter, but he is well known, I guess. And I guess wanting to see what people said or whatever, I don't know. But said every morning he went through the battle. Am I going to go with the Lord or am I going to see what Twitter has to say? I'm telling you, our devices, the Bible's right when it says we're talking about Satan. We're not ignorant of his devices, and phones are called devices because they're so handy. I mean, my Bible's on my phone. It's the Webster's Dictionary's on my phone, and Concordance is on my phone. But there's also all kinds of distractions, all right there at the touch of a...
So we'll have to actively be still. Make up our minds. You know, I got to have God first. I got to meet with the Lord before I meet with my family. I've said that for years and years. And I know I've told you this. I'm getting ready to close. But I had a preacher years ago. He called me and he said, "I thought you got up early." And I said, "I do, but not to talk to you." He called me like at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to talk to you. Did somebody die? If they did, that's okay. But if you're just talking to shoot the breeze, no, I don't want to talk to you. I'm not fit to talk to you. You don't want to talk to me if I've not talked to the Lord. Ask Him. You know, I need my time with the Lord. You need your time with the Lord. We could come before God for a time, a set time, and say, "Lord, here I am, and teach me, and I want to know you." What if we did that for a month or 2 months? What if we did that, preacher? Well, I'll tell you this, it wouldn't hurt us. You think that hurt us? I don't know if we ought to try that or not. No. We'd probably have some more of what we had this morning. Wasn't that good? Well, I'll tell you, the Lord was here. Boy, I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. If we're going to see people saved, we got to have that. You better not be dependent on me to get you to heaven. I'm telling you that. We need the power of God. We need the drawing power of the Holy Spirit in our midst to see people saved. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and just as we think a few moments about what tried to preach on today, maybe you're here and maybe God's already been working on your heart, speaking to you about your quiet, your devotion, your meditation, what's going on in your mind. The Bible says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." Satan knows our mind is a ground of a place where he can attack us. Boy, we need that time with the Lord. I want Brother Nathan to come and the ladies this morning and get us a song of invitation. Maybe you're hearing God spoke to your heart. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Father, we come today. I want to thank you for your blessings. Lord, I am really thankful for the good service this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. I really enjoyed the testimonies. I know so many of us got things going on in their lives, hard things, decisions, and things coming up, and Lord, the future can be so scary. And we start thinking, what if and what if? But God, we know you've said you go with us. We know that you're a very present help in time of trouble. We know these things. God, help us to know you more. Help us to have a desire that you'd be real and more in our lives. And we'd know you, and then we'd share you with others like we ought to. Lord, I pray you'd have your way and speak to our hearts today and help us as a church. And help us, Lord, to be in a place where we can see people saved. And that, Lord, you can use us. And we'll thank you for what you do. We come, we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's come to our feet this morning. And
page 375.
We're going to stand, we'll sing together. If you're here today and God spoke to your heart and you need to come, won't you come?